This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone. I want you to turn, or I want you to swipe, whatever you need to do. And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read one verse, Ephesians chapter 5. And this is what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." He does a contrast, but he does a comparison. Amen? A contrast and a comparison. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I want to talk to you about the magic clue. The magic clue. There was a sitcom that began in 1989 called Family Matters. And you remember that sitcom, and Steve Urkel was kind of the star of the show. But as that sitcom came on, there was a song that would play. And this is the song. "It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. Love and tradition of the grand design. Some people say it's even harder to find." Well, there must be some magic clue inside these tearful walls. There must be some magic clue inside these tearful walls. Folks, a lot of homes are just that. They're tearful walls. Tearful walls. But the song says there's a magic clue inside the tearful walls. I was getting ready for Family Month, and I was praying. It was in the middle of the night. I was praying. And I said, "God, as I'm getting ready for this Family Month, I need the latest research. I need the stats. I need the information that will help families." And it was, I want to believe unequivocally, that the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "You don't need to tell them the latest research. You don't need to tell them the latest stats. You don't need to tell them any of that. You need to tell them about the Holy Spirit. You need to tell them about the Holy Spirit. Because the magic clue for your family, the magic clue for my family, the magic clue for our marriages is the Holy Spirit." See, we've missed it, folks. We've made God the loving Heavenly Father. And we've made Jesus the wonderful brother. And we've made the Holy Spirit the weird uncle. But I want you to know, he's not weird. I want you to know he's not weird. I want you to know he's not mystical. I want you to know he's just as much God as God is God. I want you to know he's just as much God as Jesus is God. I want you to know that he is God. I want you to know today that God is on the throne. I also want you to know that Jesus is seated at his right hand. But I also want you to know it's the Holy Spirit that's here with us. It's the Holy Spirit that's here with us. So to not be interested in the Holy Spirit, folks, it's not difficult to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Now, John 14 and 12, Jesus said these words. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he'll do also." Now, I believed on him. I did when I was 16 years old. "And greater works than these shall he do." He said that we would do greater works than Jesus did. Now, wait. Does that mean, is it because I have faith? If it's based on faith, that means my faith and your faith is greater than Jesus' faith. That's not true. It's not based on faith. It's based on the fact that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. It's based on the fact when Jesus was here, if he was at Jerusalem, he couldn't be 5 miles down the road in Bethlehem. He could only be in one place. But because of the Holy Spirit, he can now be everywhere. Because of the Holy Spirit inside of every one of us. See, here's what I want you to see. Your marriage can have something that Abraham and Sarah's marriage didn't have. Your marriage can have something that Jacob and Rachel's didn't have. Your marriage can have something that Isaac and Rebekah's didn't have. Because you have the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible says, don't be drunk on wine. A man drunk, he was drunk. He walked into a bar, and after staring for some time at the only woman seated at the bar, he walked over and just kissed her. She jumped up and slapped him silly. He immediately apologized and said, "You don't understand. You look just like my wife." She said, "You worthless, insufferable, wretched, no good, drunk." "Funny," he muttered. "Now you even sound just like my wife." Now listen, some can attest to this. Some can attest to this. Sad to say, I can attest to this. But I believe I can get a witness in this group. When you're drunk, you're controlled by alcohol. Can I get a witness? Yes. You're controlled by something else, another power. Paul said, "Be not drunk with wine, but be you controlled by the Holy Spirit." Be you controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see something that I found out this week. Genesis 2:18, look what the Bible says. It says, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him." That little word help, is, as you well know, the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. That little word help was a Hebrew word, ahaz. It's not good that man should be alone. He needs a ahaz. He needs help. Now, I want you to go to John, chapter 15, verse 26. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." That word helper is the same word, ahaz. What it's talking about, a man and his wife, a helper. But as individuals and couples, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives more than we need anything else. Now, I want you to understand something. Men were to be filled with the Spirit. Women were to be filled with the Spirit. Even children are to be filled with the Spirit. You said, "Pastor, what do you mean that?" John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Here's what I want you to see. When we're filled with the Spirit, when I'm filled with the Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, it will be evident in our lives in three ways. And they're in the text. First of all, it will be evident in our lives with gladness. With gladness. Look what verse 19 says. Remember verse 18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." But look what verse 19 says. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're always complaining, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're always complaining, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's gladness in our hearts. There's gladness. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's joy and there's gladness in our lives. And we can have gladness and we can have joy in our marriages. We can be glad. We can be happy in our marriages because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. A man brings his best buddy home for dinner at 5:30 unannounced. His wife starts screaming at him while the friend just stands there and listens. My hair and my makeup are not done. The house is a mess. The dishes are not done. I'm still in my pajamas, and I can't be bothered with cooking tonight. Why in the world did you bring him to our house unannounced? Because he's thinking about getting married. Mr. Truett Cathy told me at his church he taught fifth grade boys. Now I realize some of you businessmen and women don't have time to serve because your business is so large. He taught the fifth grade boys, and Mr. Truett said his number one request, he would take prayer requests. And he said the number one request was, Mr. Truett, pray that the fussing will stop in our home. Pray that mom and dad will quit fussing. Pray that the fussing would just stop, Mr. Truett. Let me tell you something. Come up real close. Marriage done God's way has a 100% success rate. Marriage done God's way has a 100% success rate. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, there's gladness. But I'll tell you something else. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's gratefulness. Look what verse 20 says. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Giving thanks for all things unto God. One man got married, and 20 years later, they were having problems. They go see a marital therapist, and the lady says, we've been married 20 years. We got married, and he told me he loved me. But he hadn't told me one time in 20 years. And the counselor said, what do you have to say about that? He said, well, when I married her, I told her I loved her. And if I ever changed my mind, I'd let her know. I researched some successful marriages. And this is what I found out. They verbally affirm one another in private and public. They verbally affirm one another in private and in public. Sir Winston Churchill was the great leader of Britain. He was married to a lady named Clementine. He called her Clemmy. And they asked Sir Winston Churchill, if reincarnation is true and you could come back again, Sir Winston Churchill, who would you like to come back as? He said, I'd like to come back as Clemmy's second husband. Let me tell you what they do. They verbally affirm one another in private and in public. Let me tell you the second thing they do. They catch each other doing right things. They catch each other doing right things. You know, I believe most people's model of parenting is to watch their children. When they do something wrong, they reprimand them. But I believe a better model is watch your children, and when they do something right, to affirm them. Because I believe for everything they do wrong, they're probably doing 10 things right. They're doing 10 good things. And then there's a third thing. They pass along compliments others make about their mate. They pass along compliments others make about their mate. Barbara says to me, Sally came up to me after service. She said, she thought you preached a good message. I said, tell me more. See, folks, being filled with the Spirit, there'll be gladness. There'll be gratefulness. But let me tell you something. There'll be graciousness. Look what verse 21 says. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit. Look what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 5 and 25. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And let me tell you something. I understand in this culture, that verse is not politically correct. I understand in this culture. But let me say something. A woman is in no way inferior to a man. A woman is in no way inferior to a man. Listen closely. A woman is superior to a man at being a woman. A woman is superior to a man at being a woman. Now, a woman is in no way inferior to... Folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing biblical. I couldn't live with myself as an employer. I could not live with myself if I had a position and a man or a woman did the same position and somehow compensated the man more than I did the woman for the very same job. That's rotten to the core and very wrong. You say, well, Pastor, I don't agree with you. You're entitled to your opinion, no matter how wrong it may be. And let me say this, folks. I understand even the woman that would struggle. And let me explain. If I was a woman, I would struggle too. If this was the situation, I would struggle if I didn't have a man that was seeking God and on his face before God and not just trying to arbitrarily make decisions. If I was a woman, I would want a man that would get on his face before God and say, I'm not wise enough to lead this home. I'm not smart enough to lead this home. I need a total dependence upon you, Lord. I need you more than I need anything else. And I truly believe, men, that this issue would take care of itself if men would become the men that they ought to become. But I also believe that the woman that submits to the spiritual leadership of her husband glorifies God. I believe she glorifies God. I believe she's not in fear, but I do believe she has a different role. See, folks, we need to, listen, we need to get back to the Bible. I don't really give a rat's in what Oprah and Dr. Phil said. We need to get back to what God teaches above everything else. Oh, I will. Now look, Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That means when you look at that wife, you're to love her sacrificially. You're to love her supplyingly. You're to love her steadfastly. You're to love her selflessly. This is what I know. It's not hard to submit to a loving husband. And it's not hard to love a submitting wife. God's plan was right. But here's what I want you to ever pray. We're all the same. We're all the same. None of us can do it within ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. That's why before God gave the criterion for the family, he said, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. He knew the fleshly man, the fleshly woman could not do it. We would need a spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, D.L. Moody was a great preacher of days gone by. D.L. Moody had great experiences with God. But if you were ever around D.L. Moody, you would hear him pray this prayer. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And somebody asked D.L. Moody, why do you pray that prayer? He said, because I leak. I leak. Let me tell you something. We all leak. I leak. You leak. We all leak. And folks, let me just take Ephesians 4:30 says this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That word grieve means to deeply sadden. Did you ever do something and 10 seconds after you did it, you felt terrible? Why did I feel terrible, Brother Benny? Because you deeply saddened the Holy Spirit inside you. You deeply saddened the Holy Spirit. So, folks, what we do, we're no longer controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're controlled by our own desires. And let me tell you, when that starts happening, it's surfaced in four areas, and they're all there. First of all, it's surfaced in our morality. It's in our morality. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25. Wherefore put away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here's what I want you to see. When we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's obvious in our morals. Our morals won't be what they ought to be if the Holy Spirit's doesn't have full control of our lives. We'll do things and not do things that we shouldn't do because the Holy Spirit doesn't have full control of our lives. It'll be obvious in our morality. But folks, it will not only be obvious in our morality, it'll be obvious in our moods. Look what the Bible says in verse 26, and be ye angry and sin not. See, when the Holy Spirit doesn't have full control of our lives, notice, our moods will not be what they ought to be. It will not only surface in our morality, it will not only surface in our moods, but it will surface in our money. Verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. When the Holy Spirit doesn't have full control of our lives, we're not doing what we ought to be doing with our money. And folks, it will also surface with our mouths. Look what verse 31 says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. When the Holy Spirit doesn't have full control in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, we'll say things that we never fathom we'd say. We'll say things to our mate that we would attack somebody else if they said. But we're saying them simply because we're not controlled by God's Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I want to ask you something. I think this crowd can answer this. How do you stay drunk? Pop a top again. Yeah. How do you stay drunk? You keep drinking. See, this whole day, you say, pastors, this, oh yeah. John 4, verses 13 and 14. Whoso drink of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh, you got to keep drinking. You got to keep drinking. You got to keep drinking. You say, Pastor Benny, I want to stay filled with God's Spirit. How can I stay filled? You got to keep drinking. Now let me tell you. You say, well, how do you keep drinking? You got to be in prayer. You got to be talking to God. You've got to be reading your Bible. You've got to be reading your Bible. You've got to be talking to God. I would challenge you right now. I mean, this month we're launching today. This week we're launching life groups. I would encourage you to get around godly people. I would encourage you to get into a life group. I would encourage you to get with godly people. This is what I promise you. You do the research. People that are going through divorces before the divorce were associating with somebody who was going through a divorce. And they're making statements like, you ought to get rid of that loser. I'm free as a bud. You ought to get rid of him. If that's all you associate with as people that are going through divorces, before long you'll be in the same shape. But you better get with some people that are saying, I want to love her, and I want to love him, and I want to be the best husband I can be, and I want to be the best wife I can be. And before long you'll be saying, I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to be the best wife I can be. We need one another. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. We need one another. A banana gets skin when he gets away from the bundle. That's profound. Write that down, somebody. We're going to keep drinking. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get around godly people. I'm going to go to church. Church is not going to be a possibility. It's going to be a priority. You know what a family said to me this week? A beautiful family, godly family, wonderful people. They said to me, Pastor, we love our children. I said, you got beautiful children. They said, but we got so busy in the children's activities. We got away from what was most important. We got away from what was most important. Listen, any idiot can choose between good and bad. Where you're going to struggle in your life is choosing between good and best. Good and best. Good and best. Dad and mom, you've got a responsibility to them. God gave them to you. God gave them to you. I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep drinking. I want to tell you one story, and I am done. I promise. I was reading Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. While he's on Sinai, the people are down below. And they want a God that they can see. And they take their earrings and they take their jewelry and they make them a molten image, a calf. And they start worshiping the calf. Worshiping the calf. Now let me tell you something, folks. You're smarter than that. But if we're not awful careful, the devil will give us a golden calf. It may be education. It may be finances. It may be health. It may be activity. It may be anything. But you listen closely. The devil will give you a calf. He'll give you a golden calf. And they started worshiping that golden calf. And God said to Moses, Mo, he said, I see what the people are doing. And he said, Moses, you keep leading them. You keep leading the people toward the promised land. But he said, Moses, I want to tell you something. I'm going to send an angel ahead of you. You've got the angelic host ahead of you. But he said, Moses, I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to go with you. And Moses said to God, God, you can send the angelic host. You can send everybody you want to send. But if you're not going to go with us, I'm not going to go. Because God, I need your presence more than I need anything else. Let me tell you something. The magic clue, it's you. The magic clue is God. And you need his presence more than you need anything else. More than you need anything else. I don't make it complicated, folks. I'm a communicator. I just make it simple. It's as simple. God, I leak. I've leaked. But I need your presence. Sir, you won't be the husband you need to be without his presence. Ma'am, you can't be the wife and mother you need to be without his presence. We need him more than we need anything else. You can't do anything without his presence. It's the magic clue inside these tearful walls. His presence.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.